Yes, Lord, that's what we are here for tonight, is to sing of your goodness, to speak of your goodness, to reflect and remember. As we heard last week, that word zakar means to remember, and we don't just do that with our thoughts tonight, but we do that in song. We do that around a meal. We do that in conversation. We do that through telling story. And so we come and we remember your goodness. We remember your word. We remember your promises. We remember your nature and your character. We remember, Lord, that you are with us. And Lord, we pray that that remembrance wouldn't just remain an inactive posture, but it would lead us into a place of deep conviction and love and worship of your name. So lead us there tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Take a seat. As I mentioned last week, tonight is less about hearing from me or anyone else share from the Word, but to hear stories of God at work in our lives. But before we do that, I do want to share a story from the Word that is, it's just captivated me around our values. And I've been curious this week of just, of where do we see, or is there an instance where we can see all three of the values that we have covered the last 3 weeks in one moment in Scripture? And there is. And it's a really cool story. It's in Acts chapter 16. Is that feeding back too much? No, we're all right. We'll keep going with it. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they are on their way to the place of prayer. And as they were walking, there was a girl who was overcome by a spirit of divination. She was, in essence, able to tell the future. And this was a spirit that was controlling her being, had overwhelmed her own spirit. Not only that, this girl was doubly oppressed. Not only was there a spiritual oppression she was experiencing. We're going to push through this. Or we just go and eat the chicken nuggets. So I'd rather you not hear this bit than hear the stories that we share after. So that's totally okay. But not only was this girl oppressed spiritually, there were also people who were making profit out of her oppression, that they were able to make a financial gain from the situation that she was in. And she followed Paul and Silas around, and they were saying things like, these guys are preaching Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. And you'd think for a moment that, you know, Paul and Silas would have been like, you beauty, she's on our side. But the word tells us in Acts 16 that this greatly annoyed them. And so Paul, he turns to this girl and he, with just an incredible gentleness, yet a deep sense of authority, he just says, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And all of a sudden, this young girl was totally free of the spiritual oppression that she was under, and so too also free of the situational and economic oppression that she was experiencing. There's this great sense of justice being enacted in this moment by Paul and Silas, who carried with them the power and the presence of God, and they didn't wield it with fire and brimstone preaching. Girl, you know, you are oppressed. If you don't get free of that, you're going to hell forever. No, They came alongside this girl, and with it both gentleness and authority, with kindness and compassion, looking upon her situation, knowing that she had been held captive by these people who were making profit, they speak to this spirit and say, come out of her, please, in the name of Jesus. And momentarily, in an instant, she was healed of this oppression. You know, and we see that God is always near to the brokenhearted. He is always near to the oppressed. From Exodus to Jesus, we see that He is a rescuer. That he is the God who sees, and that he is the God who listens, and he is the God who acts. And we know that, when we partner with God, it's not just about making society fairer, it's partnering with him to see lives totally transformed from a place of captivity to a place of freedom. And we see justice happen in this story right at the very beginning, this beautiful sense of God breaking in to restore that which was held captive and broken. And as a result of this, Paul and Silas, these are the owners, if you want, for want of a better word, the guys profiteering, they dragged Paul and Silas before the magistrates. They were pretty cheesed off that their source of income had been taken from them. And so they brought them forward and said, "These guys are speaking things which are not right for us to listen to or obey." And this led to Paul and Silas being arrested and being charged, and they were beaten with rods, and then they were handed over to the jailer, and they were placed into the inner cell of a prison, a place of inescapability other than short of a miracle. And as they were there in the depths of the prison one night, they decided that they Sudoku wasn't their thing, and they got sick of playing the alphabet game or whatever may have been occupying their time. And rather than despairing and complaining and going, "Woe is us," here in this Roman jail cell, they began to sing and pray. And if you're here last week, we heard that video testimony of the pastor in, was it Iran, who was he was praying in jail, and the people around him were listening to the prayers he were praying, and they came to faith as a result. And this is what happened in this story, as they prayed and they worshipped God in their prison cell. All of a sudden, the ground beneath them began to rumble, and the gates that were imprisoning them began to shake, and the chains that were eye bolted through into the masonry walls began to loosen, and all of a sudden the shackles fell from their hands, and all of a sudden the gates flew open. And for the jailer, this was a moment of real conundrum. He came running in because he thought, "Well, this is going to cost me my life and my job, because I'm here for one sole purpose, to make sure that none of that happens." And all of that had happened. And he comes running in and he's like, "Where is everybody?" And Paul and Silas are like, "Bro, relax. It's all good. We're here. We haven't done the Harry Holt. We haven't headed for the hills. We are here." And this guy is totally overwhelmed by what he saw in Paul and Silas. And this guy turns to them and he says to them, "What must I do to be saved?" And they responded just with the real simplicity, "Dude, all you got to do is believe in Jesus." And he says, "Well, cool, I'll do that." And he says, "Hey, come back to my place." And this jailer, he took him back to his own house, and he mended the wounds that had been inflicted upon Paul and Silas, where the rods had beaten their backs and where the fastenings had probably charred and chafed their skin. He tended to their wounds, and his family all gathered around, the jailer's family. And this guy was baptized. And then his whole family were baptized and all came to faith. We see in this just a beautiful dance of both the power of prayer and the power of story too. That in this one encounter of a young girl being set free, and the justice of God breaking into this moment to heal her life. And then we see these guys in a moment where they could have been despairing of their situation. Instead of whinging, complaining and carrying on, they turn to prayer and they turn to worship. And they went to then being able to tell the story of God at work in their midst. And that led on to a whole family coming to faith. Justice, prayer, and story. You see, the story that these guys told wasn't just the simplicity of just believe in Jesus. The story that Paul and Silas told with their lives was a story of dependence on God in their hardest moment. And the story they told was a story of not being able to rely on their own ability, but purely on the fact that they had nothing to offer in this moment but for the power of God. The story that they had to share in this moment was one of integrity in their decision making. These guys could have bolted. They could have headed for the hills. They could have gone and run and hid in the 7-Eleven or whatever. But they decided to stay and give testimony to the power of God. There was integrity about Paul and Silas, and that spoke loudly to this jailer. And ultimately, we see the salvation of God break in so many different ways in this story. Absolutely miraculous. And so, friends, I want to share that with you to remind you that prayer and story and justice are not just ethereal ideals and values that we say, here is a good idea. Let's subscribe to these things and say that we're doing a good job. No, these are values deeply embedded in the very story of God Himself, and you and I are invited into that. And so I want that to be the platform from which we can share some testimony tonight. Maybe you've had an experience of late where God has broken into your life in a particular way. Maybe it is in the vein of justice, where you have seen God at work, bringing restoration and bringing healing. Maybe a story of God in a moment of rescue in a situation. Maybe you've got a story to tell on the power of prayer. We know that our WhatsApp group has been mentioned, lights up just about daily or weekly with God at work through the power of prayer in this community. Maybe you've got a story to share on the presence of God and how that has impacted your life. Maybe there is just great fruit that you have seen from just long, faithful obedience in the same direction, where there's just an integrity about your life in your workplace, in a family situation, in something that has just been a long drawn out season, and now you can stand and say, God has done this in my life. And so I've got some stools, because that's what you do when you go into storytelling mode. You have a couple of stools, and we run the risk in these moments of it kind of being awkwardly silent for a moment, but I can tell you from experience that it only takes one person to come and share a testimony of God at work, and it's like we turn the tap on full ball and we can't get enough of it. And so I'm curious, maybe as I've shared just even in those last few moments about encouragement around how God has been at work in your life, you're like, hang on, I've got something to share here. I want to welcome you to come and share a story. And as an added bonus, and this shouldn't be the motivator, but I want to do this, is for every person who comes and shares a story, we're going to pray for you as a way to say, Lord, you have been at work, do it again. And so just to be able to bless and encourage each other in prayer as we go. So, you know, and if you just want to be prayed for tonight, just come and make up a story and we can pray for you. So that's all good. That's all good too. So, yeah. You've had a whole week of warning on this too, that we're going to have a bit of storytelling time. So I know that our ministry team will have no problem sharing, because we've had plenty of rich stories of late, but they can all sit in their spot for now. Is there anyone that has a story to share of God at work? And it doesn't have to be in story, prayer and justice, but I hazard a guess that there's probably an inflection or a flavor of those in there somewhere. So fire away. Come and join me if you do. Oh, Chase. Just ignore the rain, as hard as it is.
Yeah. So I got a story on the power of prayer. So it would have been, 2 years ago. I play a lot of football, soccer, as probably most of you know. But 2 years ago, I was at Rockdale, City Suns, and we're getting relegated. So the bottom two teams get relegated down to Division 2. And so we're getting relegated. And I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't know where to go. I was like really stuck with where to go. And I remember talking to my mum about it. And she's like, just go and pray and just worship him through this tough time, you know. So she bought me a book. And I remember just writing down my prayers and just saying, Lord, look, I need you in this moment. I don't know what I'm going to do. Just do your work and I'll worship you forever, whatever you do, you know. And it would have been about 2 weeks later, MacArthur Bulls rang up. They were in the MPL2, and they're an A-League academy, but they were in a lower division, and their goal was to get promoted over the next 2 or 3 years. And so I was like, oh yeah, this seems like a good move. So I prayed about it, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And they really started to push it. They're like, oh, you'll be playing up an age group. So I was like, oh yeah, I'll go help them get promoted. Anyway, the next year we got promoted to MPL1, and I was captain. And ever since, I've been captain for 3 years. And over those 3 years, I've sort of made an impact. Like, it's been a bit of a domino effect. So I started praying before games with my teammates, and it just started to take off. And now pretty much the 16s do it, 18s and 20s do it. So we all pray before games, and yeah. So just, he works. Like, just keep praying and just, yeah.
Awesome, man. How cool is that? That there was a trajectory that you thought you were on, and it was a trajectory of relegation, and there was disappointment in that. But hearing your heart to go to a place of prayer in the difficulty of that, and the Lord has opened up a whole another, not just a door in your soccer career, but also for Him to be able to be made known within that community. How good's that? Let's pray for him. Oh Lord, we thank you for Chase. Thank you, Lord, that he is a young man after your heart. Lord, that, I have a sense that there's just so much more for him in that soccer realm, for him to be sharing your love and to be the light that you have called him to be. Father, in a culture that can be, quite cutthroat, Lord, that you're going to use Chase, Lord, to be able to bring a real humility and a real lightness into that. And God, you've been at work in him so far, and pray that as he continues to embed a culture of prayer within his soccer teams, that there's going to be great testimony of you showing up in people's lives, and the stories of you at work are going to continue to pour out through the MacArthur Bulls. So Lord, bless them in their season. May they go extraordinarily well for your name and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, dude. How good's that? Any others? Who's got some stories? Kids are allowed to share too. If any kids have got a story of how God has done something cool, Poppy's pointing to her dad. The old dob someone in trick. Bretto.
Your story about the jail reminded me of God at work in the most unlikely of places. For those of you who don't know, one of the things that I do is I support our chaplains that are working with our Churches of Christ here in New South Wales, and so just recently stepped into that role. And we have about 20 chaplains across the state. But we have some in prison ministry. And I spent a couple of half a days in maximum security jail. I'm pretty glad the gates didn't open and chains fall off in that space. I was in Cessnock High Security, maximum security prison with our chaplain up there for half a day, actually inside the jail walking around the inmates. It's scary. I was petrified because I'm not sort of big and strong, and there's some freaking mean dudes in there, let me tell you. Just hearing the stories of a God at work in the lives of people you probably sometimes don't want God to work in, almost, you know, because they don't feel like they deserve it. We're talking the worst of the worst, having guys chatting with guys. Obviously, there's different levels, guys that have been there for a long, long time. And, yeah, one guy's telling me he's in his third year of doing his diploma in ministry online. They get 20 to 40 guys coming to chapel every week to pray and worship. And so, yeah, it does my head in a little bit, just trying to work out my role, but also God at work in that space. But yeah, I was talking to Marcus about this before. It's like they're still human beings created in the image of God. And even though that's sometimes hard for us, God still loves them with all his heart. And some of their lives are being totally transformed by the love of God. And, you know, they all have a pretty horrible story that led them to where they are. You know, whether that's abuse or drugs or whatever. But, yeah, God is at work.
So good. We're going to pray for you before you go. But I guess with the chaplaincy, we've got chaplains right across the state in aged care, emergency services, frontline responders, hospitals, schools, and chaplains doing an incredible. I remember seeing a testimony of some of our aged care and doing end of life chaplaincy, and people being led to the Lord in the very final moments of life is incredible. And as Brett mentioned, it's a new role he stepped into within Churches of Christ New South Wales to oversee all of the chaplains. So let's pray for Brett in that. And yeah, Lord, thanks for Brett. Thanks for his yes, that he said yes. To you, that as you continue to lead him forward in both his ministry here at Kingsway and Sea Change and Phnom Penh, but also more broadly in our network, Lord, we pray that you would continue to use him mightily as you have done so over the last 300 years of his ministry. Father, just pray that you would continue to go before him and bless him. God, that you're going to keep showing him incredible moments where you are, in fact, breaking into some of the hardest and darkest moments, be that in maximum security prisons or in aged care facilities or into the other tough parts of our state where our chaplains are all working. So bless him, Lord, go with him. And Father, we also look forward to more of the testimonies of you doing great things and your love breaking in to those environments in Jesus' name. Amen. It's cool.
Just a praise point too. After about 2.5-3 years of trying to get visas for our pastors from Cambodia to come and visit us here in Australia, they got knocked back by the government a couple of times. Just this week, all three of them have had their visas approved and coming to visit us in September for 10 days. So be excited about having them with us here in September. Be great.
Super cool. When I was over there in December, I was in awe of Panet, our pastor over there, and he's got a hammock in the courtyard of the church. And so I've got from now until then to get my hammock game strong outside. Need to show him up. It's got to be a bigger hammock than his. Anyone got any story? Any more stories? Donna.
This is kind of my testimony, actually. So the first 30 years of my life, I went to church for births, christenings, funerals, and something else, Easter, maybe. And then 30 years ago, a Christian man married me, and I guess he was faithful that I would come to Christ. And then not long after we were married, I moved to Sydney and I had a major seizure in our unit at Cronulla and the ambulance came and got me, a really good praise point already, and I didn't even know God. The ambulance took me to Sutherland Hospital and they kind of stabilized me, but then I had another massive seizure and I didn't even know God. Prior to that, I had been going to Kingsway Community Church occasionally with my husband because I had better things to do on a Sunday, I told him. But Brett's mum was there and Ruth and Andrew were there and I know that people were praying for me because I was this lost girl. So anyway, I'm in hospital after two major seizures. I was unconscious and 3 days later I woke up in ICU and they said your baby girl was born at 28 weeks. So I was pregnant with my first child and it was a miracle already in my life and I didn't even know about miracles. So I feel like God's been with me way before I even knew him. And I'm grateful and I am in awe of the blessings and goodness and miracles that have happened in my life in this next 30 years. So we spent 9 weeks in hospital. Actually, I didn't see my baby until a week later because she was taken to another hospital at RPA in the city, and so I was still at Sutherland. Then they took me to RPA and I saw this tiny, tiny baby. She was 980 grams. She was 29 centimetres long. She was so small, her ears hadn't even developed cartilage, so they felt like velvet. She was tiny, but she was alive. She only needed oxygen for 24 hours, and after that she breathed by herself. A miracle from God, and I still didn't know him. So after a couple of weeks, I got to come home, but she stayed there for another 7 weeks. And then she was big enough to come to Sutherland Hospital for 2 weeks. And there she grew, and then she came home. And I was trying to be the best mum, and I would go to Kingsway when we were back at the old Kingsway. And all these women and people said, "I've been praying for you, I've been praying for you." And eventually I started coming to church because I realised this was a pretty good place to be, actually. These people are nice, and I kind of get this God thing. Okay, I get this. But I still wasn't a Christian. I still hadn't been saved. I hadn't given my life to God. But then I was sitting on my balcony one day rocking this beautiful baby in my arms. And I looked down at this baby and I said, "Oh my gosh, you're beautiful. How clever am I?" "Oh, no, no." I heard a voice, and the voice said, "I was with you every step you took." And like we said last week, how can you say no to that? How can you say no to God? All of a sudden, this God is real because he's talking to me. And ever since then, I've been coming to Kingsway Community Church, and that was 29 years ago. So God is good. God is right with us always. And my daughter's healthy.
How cool. There's got to be a play on words there somewhere. When you're having seizures, God sees you. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? God's seizure. Is that inappropriate? God sees you. Let's do that. Father, we just thank you so much that just like in Donna's story and in so many, in fact, in all of our stories, you have been at work far beyond and before we could have ever imagined. Father, your word reminds us that even while we were in our mother's wombs, that you formed us and you know us and every single hair on our head, and from time immemorial, from the very beginning of our very lives, that you have been drawing us to yourself. And Lord, in Don's testimony, it is such evidence, Lord, that you have had eyes for her, that you have been looking out for her, that you have been caring for her, that you have had her best interests at heart. And Lord, the story of what you have done in her life is nothing short of a miracle, where without your intervention, Bronte wouldn't be here. In fact, Donna wouldn't be here. And so, Lord, we give you thanks that both of them are. That both of them are a gift to our world, that both of them are a gift to your kingdom and the mission that you have for us. And so, Father, we bless you for Donna. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to use her story, use her faithfulness, and use the power of prayer in this community to keep drawing people to yourself. In Jesus' name. How good. There you go. I bet you didn't know that about Donna, most of you. Ruth.
Hello. Hello. Now that the rain stopped, I can talk. My dear old mum used to say, "God's timing is always perfect." And that was proved again this week. I have to have some surgery, and the surgeon said, "Well, I don't want to touch you because at your age, I need to make sure your heart and everything is okay. So go to the cardiologist, get checked out." So I rang the cardiologist, and if anyone's ever rung a specialist, it's not you get in next week, you're getting in the next few months. Anyway, I thought, no, I've got a holiday coming up. I need this to be quicker. So I said to God, okay, see what you can do for me. And I thought, and they said, don't worry, you'll be on a waiting list, you know. And I thought, okay, well, when they ring, I don't want to be in the shower. I don't want to be driving. I don't want to be out so I don't hear my phone. And this last Tuesday, I was sitting on the back deck reading, having a coffee, waiting for Andrew to come home from church. And the phone rang, and I answered it. And they said, oh, it's the cardiologist here. Could you come on Thursday this week at 11 o'clock? And the only day that we didn't have anything on this week was Thursday. And they said, oh, and by the way, could you come to Miranda, not Engadine? I said, I'd love to come to Miranda. So I went, got checked out. He said, I'll just do a few tests on you, but the girl isn't here today who does that. And I thought, oh, no, here we go. I'll have to come back in another 6 weeks. But do you mind if I do them? I said, I don't mind at all. So he did them, gave me the all clear. Then when I went to pay, oh, he's bulk billed you today. And I was listening to everybody while I was waiting in the waiting room, $450, $510. And I'm thinking, oh, no, what's this going to cost me? Nothing. So God is good. And I've already made the appointment for the surgery, which was even before the cardiologist. So there you go. He's always there. And I thought, why is he looking after me like this when he's got so many other things to do? And then the song, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. And I thought, so true.
How good's that? Some people would call that coincidence, but we can't help but seeing that there's just...
I call that a God incidence, not a coincidence. And I've had so many of those through my life. It's just unbelievable.
How good. He brings up the valleys and he lowers the mountains, and it's like all of the lights all of a sudden turn green. And there's favour in these moments. So, Lord, we just thank you that in this season of what has been uncertainty and pain and discomfort and all that comes with being unwell, that your grace has been lavishly poured out upon Ruth. Father, you have done not just one mighty miracle, but one after the other, after the other, after the other. And you have made way for her, as we have sung, that you are the way maker, that you are the promise keeper. And God, we just thank you that you have broken into so many different moments in just the 1 week to orchestrate this gift for Ruth. And so for anyone who here tonight who needs the reminder of your faithfulness in moments of our uncertainty or in our anxiousness, that you in fact do see us and you do make a way, and that you orchestrate things in the background that otherwise just wouldn't happen. And so, Father, we thank you for this God incidence, and we ask that we would hear of more of them in our community to give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, good. Thanks, Ruth. We often share stories of pain these days, don't we? We almost got a communal packet of Panadol that we're dipping into in the office on a Wednesday. Rack them up. Any other stories? Robin. We will get to dinner eventually, but I mean, stories are pretty good. No, we can stay here all night. Better than watching TV.
I'll make it quick. This is a testimony story of a walk of endurance and enduring in prayer, and it's one that's not over yet. But I've found that God sends His encouragement and like God hugs along the way to let you know He's there. And He hasn't forgotten, and He's right in the midst of it. And as some of you may know, my eldest son has mental health issues, and I put it on the WhatsApp at often times for prayer for him. So he's suffered from it since for about the last 17 years. And the last 18 months have been the hardest. He's been in and out of hospital and not getting better. He'd get back out into the community for 6 weeks and then he'd go back in, and recently he went back in again. But the story that I want to testify to is that in this journey, particularly for the last 18 months, there's been this, God's provided this mental health nurse that has really been his advocate and has seen him and seen what he needs and has set things in motion for him to get more wraparound care and support. And it just seems like a little thing, but it's been a huge thing because she has seen him and is getting things moving that over the last 17 years I've never seen. And so that's, I see, as God's hand. And just recently he's come out of hospital yet again, and he's had all sorts of treatment, but I've felt this time there's been a shift and there's been a real change in him that he wants to get. I just know by how he is. I've seen the David that I know. And so much with mental health, the person gets lost. And so I've started to see the David I know and love, and we all know. So it's still a roller coaster ride at times, but I just know that in the midst of it, God is there and he's working behind the scenes and he's heard my cries. And I would have despaired unless I believed that I'd see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And, you know, God has been faithful and he continues, and sometimes it's just a walk of trust and believing, God, you're a good God, and I know that you love my son more than I ever could, and you hear our cries and you hear our prayers, and you're the God who answers.
How good is that? Awesome. It's just a story of provision in all of that through prayer, that God has always advocated for people. He's always placed people at a certain point in time and history and space to be able to shift things to where he wants them to be. And I can hear that in this story. So let's give thanks for that. Father, we thank you for Robin and her testimony of enduring in prayer and seeing you provide in David's life the right people at the right time to move things along for his well-being. Lord, we continue to pray for David. And thank you, Lord, that there has already been a glimmer for which Robin can see her son for who he is and who she knows him to be. Father, we ask that there would be a continued unveiling of the fullness of who he is. And Lord, for the mental illness that has been shrouding that, we ask for ongoing healing at the hands of your Holy Spirit at work in his life, but also at the hands of those who are caring for him. So Lord, we ask that for David, who's I share the name, means beloved, Lord, that he would understand how beloved he is. And that you are the God who sees him and the God who loves him, and God, that his heart would come fully alive in your presence and awakened to who you are. So bless him, bless Robin and Jeff as they continue to walk this journey, and be with them, and help them to continue to have eyes to see you at work, and how you're providing along the way, in Jesus' name, amen. I reckon we've got time for one or two more, if there's one or two more stories in the room. Lizzie, Paisano.
Okay, so this is a story about like how God can heal people, because about 4 years ago, my Auntie Lynn, she had a really scary health scare. Like, my grandma was going to her house, and then my grandma got there and she found my Auntie lifeless laying on her bed, and she just was unconscious. And then turns out my Auntie Lynn had 5 blood clots near her heart. And about a month ago, my Auntie Lynn got a bunch of tests, and we found out that they're all cleared now. And me and my family were like all praying and praying for it. And then we just found out, you know, they went away and they can't come back. So, yeah.
How good. How good. God at work, healing physical bodies. I'll have some of that. Anyone else need some healing of bodies in the room? Let's ask that it happen. Lord, we thank you for Lizzie and for her family who have prayed so diligently for her auntie, and Lord, that you have given her a gift of healing in her life. Father, I pray that as you continue to work in Lizzie in this gift, Lord, that there's been an answer to prayer of healing through her prayers. God, that would continue to be known through our church community. And so for any broken bodies in the room right now, we pray that as has been shared in this testimony, that we would experience that now. God, that there would be healing and wholeness brought to bodies where there is brokenness. And so by faith, we ask, heal us in whatever needs to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Good on you, Lizzie. How are you? Have we met?
I think so. I'm
Dave. Ben. Where are you from, Ben? From Como. Ben from Como. Awesome. One of Benji's mates. Oh, he's got to be a good bloke. Any mate of Benji's a mate of mine. So good on you, Ben. Share away.
Well, I'm another hill story. I'm a big mountain biker, and probably about a year and a half ago now, I came off a mountain bike and I think I must have hit a tree or something. Not sure what happened. When I woke up on the ground, I couldn't move my legs. And I was in pain and I was yelling out for help. Then I eventually got shipped away to the hospital and I woke up about 4 days later. And the surgeon walks in and he starts telling me what happened, and you know, two of my vertebrae have been crushed and shattered into a lot of pieces. And then he starts asking me if I can feel my legs. And he starts, you know, prodding them and poking them and seeing what's going on. And I'm fine, I can feel all of it. And he goes, well, you better be thanking God, because I've been picking bits of your spine out of your perfectly intact spinal cord for the past 12 hours. And it's just a miracle that you haven't harmed your spinal cord at all. And I was just sitting there thinking, wow, he's right. I should be thanking God.
Yeah. Are you thanking God?
I am.
How good's that? How encouraging, and how encouraging that Ben, is this your first time here?
To church.
Okay, I've been to youth before. To have the proverbial balls to get up here and share your story, that's amazing. So Lord, I thank you for my newest mate Ben from Como. Thank you that you have done a mighty work in his life. God, in fact, there is a miracle that even the medical professionals profess to have happened in his body. Lord, we are so grateful that all of those fragments of spine did, in fact, get pulled out of his perfectly good spinal cord. And God, that there has been no lasting damage to his body. So we thank you, Lord, that you have been at work in this situation. But even more, you have continued to be at work in Ben's life over that time. And we thank you that he knows you and he gives thanks to you and he recognizes you as the healer in his life. So bless him, Lord, and ask that this story and the many more to come through his life are going to lead others to you. Father, I pray that you give him a great gift of sharing your word, sharing his experiences that are going to continue to shape people's lives for your name. Amen. On you, Ben. Or champion. Oh, looks like I'm getting kicked off stage. Joe, you come on. Or was that a yeah? Yeah, come on.
Bretto's story just reminded me of something from years ago about being in the prison. So when I was about, I don't know, I was probably about 21. I wasn't in prison. I know. Confession time. So I was a young police officer in the federal police, and this person, company that we'd been investigating for sales tax fraud, this dude had like skipped the country with like a lot of money. Okay, so anyway, what happened was he goes overseas, and while he's over there he becomes Christian, and so he decides that he wants to confess and come and tell everything about it, do his time, which is actually what happened. He went to prison, but in the meantime, I was this young police officer. I don't know, I mentioned about Mrs. Presto, my year one teacher, went to, you know, I'd been to, my parents dropped me off at Sunday school, But I kind of got to about 18, 19 and just didn't know. I was in a bit of a spiritual wilderness. And it was during this time, this guy decided that we got invited up to the Sydney Police Centre where he was being held on remand pretty much every day for about a month. Brendan probably remembers it. And I was pretty much the typist. Like, it was on an old typewriter. And so we would do a recorded interview, like, for quite a few hours, day upon day upon day. And Ralph, my sergeant would go out of the room and Ralph would go, "Been praying for you. How's your relationship with Jesus?" He knew nothing about where I was at. And so this would just go on and on. And I said to him, "Look, like, my faith is private." He goes, "Nah, no, it's not actually." He goes, "It's personal, but it's not private." And he challenged me. And he just challenges like this little, you know, just. Anyway, and so there was a lot of other things going on, but it was instrumental at that point in time. I knew from that challenge and some other things that have been going on that God was after something more from me. And so I just thought, after Brodo's story, I was like, wow, like, it just reminded me, God, we find God in the most unlikely of people and places sometimes. And, you know, that's a really humbling thing. So, yeah, I just thought that might be encouraging. You know, never write someone off, or if someone is saying something to you, they, you know, just be listening. Yeah. So anyway, and also our daughter is coming back to Sydney to live with her husband, but we prayed that this would go smoothly. This news only happened like 3 or 4 days ago, and she's like, you know, halfway through her pregnancy, and within about 3 days, she got into a gynecologist here. She got sorted with her work transfer, and we've just seen God's hand all over it, so we're so thankful.
So good. And if you too are a tax fraud criminal, there's hope for you as well, I guess, in that too. Come to Jesus and all of that. Let's give thanks for this as well. Father, thank you for the abundance of stories that we hear through Joe's life and how you've been at work. Lord, thank you that there's been so many people who have been instrumental in her story that have led her to you, that have shaped who she is. And some of those have been just the most unlikely people in the most unlikely places. And what a beautiful truth that is for all of us to be humbled by the reality, God, that it's not all that shimmers and shines that reveals your nature to us, but sometimes it is just in the backwaters and in the least expected people and places that we find your love and your goodness. So we ask for more of that, Lord. We ask that we would be postured in such humility to be able to see you in places where we may not expect. And so, Father, thank you for Joe. Thanks for Rach and Jack and for their move back to Sydney and for the provision that's been in that. Lord, we just bless you for how you've been at work there, in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. Well, let's. Can we just normalize storytelling as a way of who we are, and as we gather together each week to be able to testify to God's goodness and what He's up to, because it builds faith in us, and that's the power of testimony. If He's done it in you, He can do it in me. And testimony also says, "Do it again, Lord." And so we want to see His provision and His love and His salvation and His freedom and all that we have heard tonight done again and again and again and again. And so we say, "Lord, do all of that again and more." So let's stand, let's sing a song of worship together, and then we're going to head out and have some dinner.